Well, I want to tell you, God wants to bless you in this new year, in 2017. We know that. We've already seen the presence of God, and we're excited about what God wants to do with us this year. Today, I want to talk to you something. First of all, I want to apologize, okay? I had a message prepared for today, and I like to be obedient. Amen? All right, so now I've got your forgiveness. Now, I can tell you this, is that God changed this message 2 days ago. All right, so I don't know why. I still don't know why, but he does. But the other message, just preach it later. Ain't no big deal. But the truth is, this message is for us that's here today. So if you don't usually show up here, well, thank God you finally got here, amen? Because God's got a message for us. So I want to jump into this word today. And the title of the message today is First Things. First Things. And today, you know, I'm supposed to be launching a series I was going to teach for a couple weeks on fasting, but that's not what God had in mind. And actually, as I finished this, I said, well, that's got a lot to do with fasting, actually, amen? So listen to this. First things, I'm going to be speaking this morning on first things. I found in God's word 7 times where God says, do this first. And it will align us for the blessings. 7 times he says, do this first, do this first, do this first, do this first. And I shared that I heard another pastor preach this message, and man, it just inspired me that we need to start doing some things first, amen? So I began to wonder what in the world God was telling me to share with the congregation today. The beginning of the year is a good time for us to get things right, for us to get things straight. What I was thinking about was alignment. We need to be in line with God's word. So as I began to think about that word alignment, and everybody says alignment. Everybody say alignment. This entire message today is about first things and being in alignment with what God has. Now, the alignment example that I had heard and I thought was worth and noteworthy of sharing again is the alignment. How many people run their cars up into curbs? Now, all you husbands say, yep, that's my wife. Yep, they thought that was a curb filler, but it's actually a curb finder because they find the whole curb, right? That's what we used to usually say, but the truth is we're all guilty of that, aren't we? We'll bump into it, we'll hit it a little too hard, we'll drive up over that curb, and what happens, it knocks our car out of what? Out of alignment. We might not even recognize it until we're driving down the road and we get up to 60, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour on the interstate, and all of a sudden you got this wobble, and you know it's time to take it to the neighborhood mechanic because things are out of alignment, amen? I see we all can relate to that. Everybody said, I've done that. That way I don't feel so guilty, all right? But if your car is out of alignment, it feels like you're navigating in a winding, gravelly, dark, nasty road, like you just can't get it to hold where it's supposed to be at, and often our lives are like that. When your vehicle's out of alignment, it says a lot about the way our lives are too. Also, I got a story that I wrote down here about a chiropractor. Now, you guys know that last year. Well, that's already past us. Praise the Lord. Last year I had knee surgery, but I hobbled around from, it got hurt about the time I was on a cruise. So cruises ain't no good for you, all right? I'm just saying that because I don't like them anymore. My wife loves them, but my knee started hurting because everything was climbing, everything was steps. And on the first or second day, my knee started really bothering me. I ended up having surgery. But the thing that really got me was by the time I had surgery, 7 months later, when I had the surgery, everything in my entire body was out of alignment. Amen? So what I did is I went to the chiropractor, and he's an old friend of ours, and I asked him, I said, hey, my back hurts. And he says, man, you are completely out of alignment. So what he started with, he didn't start with my knee or my hip, which was killing me. He started with my neck, and he worked all the way down. He put everything in alignment like it was supposed to be. And don't you know, it made my journey a lot easier for the knee surgery. So I got the knee surgery. I said, I don't even think I need it now. I feel pretty good. Yeah, it hurts, but all of a sudden, that was back in the line. We need to take inventory, have a tune-up or a tune-in, or make sure we're heading in the right direction in this new year, and including this fast that we're entering into today. It's time for us as a church to get aligned. Everybody say, get aligned. There are 2 distinct differences and definitions of alignment. Both have significant spiritual implications. First of all, listen to this. First of all, alignment refers to the arrangement in a straight line or in a correct position. Listen to this, correct position. We need to get positioned correctly. Secondly, alignment refers to a position or agreement of alliance. So what happens is we're making an agreement to get into the right or correct position, amen? If you want to be in the correct position to receive the favor and blessings of God in 2017 from the Lord, you have to align your priority with God's word. Amen. The problem today is we want what we want when we want it, and we don't necessarily want to do it the way we're supposed to do it. We don't want to align with God's word. We want what we want when we want it, and how we want it. So the first priority I want to share with you is this. God gives us seven different things that he says do this first. First one, get your priorities straight. Get your priorities straight. Say it with me. Get your priorities straight. No. Everybody's got to participate. Get your priorities straight. All right. We'll try on the next one. All right. But to get our priorities straight, no better scripture than Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, right? Seek ye first is what it says, and you begin to look at the word. What's it say? First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. First things, alignment of priorities. That's the first thing. In other words, you must dethrone what stands between you and Jesus. You must dethrone what stands between you and Jesus. What is it that stands between you and Jesus? Begin to think on that. Begin to think about, well, nothing really gets in between me and Jesus. There's plenty of stuff that'll get in between you and Jesus. It can be your money, finances, jobs, children, grandchildren, other priorities, all kinds of things. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is talking about getting the spiritual things in order. Listen, it says in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, listen to this, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? What does it say? It says that there's some first things that needs to happen. The first thing that mentioned is what? The spirit. It says, take the order and look at the order, spirit, soul, and body. So often our order is the flesh, is the body. It's always the flesh first, me, what I want, when I want it, what I need. Then our soul, our attitudes, our happiness, what makes me the happiest. Then our spirits. It comes in third. So we have that hijacked a lot of times right out of the gates. But notice God's priorities. Listen, it says spirit first. God has order in his word. It says spirit first. Seek first the kingdom, and I will preserve you spirit. In your spirit, listen to that, your spirit, listen to this. It says that I will preserve you spirit, soul, and body, spirit first, and everything else will be blessed, but spiritual alignment must be first. Everybody got quiet on me, amen? Listen, spiritually, we've got to get in line. Spiritually, we've got to come to the place. Listen, the Christian life is not, everybody say it is not. It is not me first, it is the kingdom first. Hear me and hear what I say. If you will say the kingdom first this year, that is alignment of God's blessing, and he will pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain, amen? When you begin to allow him to be in alignment, when you begin to get it this way, all of us right here will begin to make sense, amen? When you begin to get it, what, vertical, all of a sudden everything horizontal in your life will begin to finally make sense, the things you struggle with. And, you know, just like our fast, we said one of the things we're going to do in the war room is if we have children or grandchildren or family members that we're not saying they're not saved or nothing like that, but we're talking about a passion, amen. We want our family to have passion in this church, amen. We want them to consider others better than themselves. We want our family to fall in love with Christ. We want our church family to be, if they get cut, they bleed Jesus Christ. That's what we want. So what we're going to do is we're going to put those names on the wall, and we're going to begin to pray passionately and fervently for 21 days for those folks, amen. We want to see something brand new. We want to be set ablaze as a church. We want to come to church just to fill a pew or fill a chair. We want to come to church to learn, to grow, and take it to all the world, amen. That's why we come to church. Second, God showed me was this. The second reason. Second, mend relationships. Begin to mend some relationships this year. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't have mended relationships, you have strained relationships. And I'm going to show you and qualify it through Scripture. What often that does is it divides, it separates, it conquers us. It says in Matthew 7:5, what's the first word? Hypocrite. Now, what's everybody in the church known as outside in the worldly way? We're hypocrites, they say. Why in the world I want to be like you? I'm already like you. I just don't have to go to church because you are a hypocrite. We hear this constantly. We hear this constantly. Let me keep going. It says hypocrite. Now the next word is the key. First. Does it say first? It says first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now we got some priorities here that we have to do. So we're going to talk about somebody. Everybody say yank. Yank. Now come on, crowd participation. Yank. Yank. Yank the plank, okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to yank the plank here this morning. We want to get that plank up out of our... This is the alignment of relationships. When you begin to look at the alignment of relationships, you need to worry first about yourself. Well, that was unpopular, wasn't it? Kind of like we try to fix everybody else. We're fixer-uppers, right? So all of a sudden, if you have a leader, what leaders like to do is say, don't worry about it, I got you. Just get in the Word, quit whining and complaining, let's go. All right, we like to fix people up, and we are fixer-uppers is what we are. You're talking about people, and we're talking about their issues. You're worrying about their toothpick in their eye when you have a big old honking plank in your own eye. This does not make any sense at all. How many of you have met the Christian who likes to talk about everybody else but themselves? Two of us. Thanks, Jim. Me and Jimmy, or three or four of us have met him. All right. So I want to be honest with you. I was that person, amen. I was that person, so what you have to do is begin to recognize first that you have the plank in your eye. So all of a sudden, we begin to understand there's a yank that needs to take place. It is so easy to see what they need. It's easy for me to come and help fix you up and tell you what's wrong with your children, but the truth is your own children don't even like to be around you. Everybody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh, see, the truth is sometimes our own children don't even like to be around us, but we're going to tell everybody else about their business, right? Well, let me keep going. Everybody still with me? Nobody left. You can see it so clear for somebody else, but you don't see the plank in your own eye is why I shared that. It's really easy for me to see the problem with your child, and I can't see the problem with my child, amen? The truth is that we're blinded. We think it's everybody else, so we talk about everybody else. We begin to allow all that happen, but first things first, everybody say, yank the plank. We got to yank the plank this year from our eye. I'm telling you how to get in alignment for the blessings of God. God does not bless people who will go around criticizing others as though they have no issues themselves. Deal first with yourself. Can I get an amen up in the house today? It's time for us to begin to deal with us, begin to worry about what you can change, and you can only change you. It's time for us to get in alignment, take authority, and align the relationships that God has called us to align. Hallelujah. In Matthew 5:23-24, listen to this. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, oh, this is familiar scripture right here, isn't it? If you bring your gift to the altar and there, remember your brother has something against you. Verse 24 says, leave. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. Action words. Go your way first. Everybody say first. First be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift. Now, the first thing that we get out of this is it says, there ain't no sense in me making it and bringing an offering to the church because I already got ought against my brother, so I'm not going to, I'm going to take you off the hook. That's not what it says, amen. It says bring it. When you begin to bring it to God, when you begin to bring it to the altar of sacrifice, when you begin to bring it, it says lay it down. It says lay away plan. It says future blessing. It says get it in right, get it in a line, get it done now, and then come back. So there's an action that takes place. What he wants us to do is he wants us to put it down. He wants to go get it. He wants us to go get it in a line. And when we get it in a line, he said, lay away plan. You can come back for your blessing. And when you come back this time, I'm going to pour a blessing out on you that you cannot contain. Amen? So we begin to understand if you are in a position of unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, or if you're offended, it does not no good for you to give an offering. It says for you to first bring it. First thing you got to do is bring it, amen. If you want to be blessed, the first thing you do is you bring it, leave it, lay it away, get on the plan, go and invest, and bring it back to the altar and receive what he has for you. We need somebody to fix the relationships that we are in today. Can you say amen? If you want blessings of God this year, it's time to get in alignment. Be reconciled, and if they don't want this, listen, that's okay. Because we got to go, I just shared this with a gentleman not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and he told me how angry and how bitter and how much strife he had about how someone done him. He said, I'm sitting there looking right at him, and he said, I'm a Christian. He said, but I'm so mad I could punch him right in the face. And I said, look, brother, that ain't your trial, that's your trial. And he began to say, how's that my trial? I said, they don't look mad to me. I said, the trial is yours, man, and what you got to do is you got to release. Listen, lay it down, bring it, lay it down, leave it laying there, go get reconciled, and then allow God to pour the blessing on you because you did what was right. Can you say amen? Amen. See, that's what we have to do. We come to that place where there's a reconciliation taking place. If they don't want to receive that, that gentleman went and did that, and guess what? They didn't want to receive that. They did not want forgiveness, and it didn't work out the way he or I thought he would. But the truth was this. I said, now God's about to bless your life, amen. It doesn't matter. Nobody else can hinder you. No one else can hold you back. When you release, when you lay it down, when you let it go, all of a sudden you begin to walk in God's blessings. Can you shout hallelujah? Yeah, we know what we're talking about because we've had to lay some stuff down. Number three. You ready for number three? The authority of alignment. Everybody say authority. We've got to walk in the authority of alignment. Amen. Verse 29 of Matthew chapter 12 says this. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Wow. When I got this scripture right here, this really wrecked me. This really wrecked me. Amen. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. What we got to begin to do this year, what this scripture is talking about, you got to go tear up and bind up and lock up the things that's had you locked up. Amen. The things that's keeping you from your anointing, the things that's keeping you from your calling, the things that keep you going around the same tree, hitting your head on the same branch and wondering why I got the same knot in the same spot again. It's time for us to get this. Listen up. I want to share this with you. It says this has to do with the fact that the devil has stolen something from you. He has stolen something from you. And we know John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ came so we can have a life of abundance. And we know that scripture, don't we? But the truth is this. We need to get on the right side of that comma. That dirt bag, no good for nothing, lying, mule-faced devil has done stole something from us. And I don't care. It might not be something obvious to you today. But think back over your life, the things, the call that God called upon your life, the things that God promised you. You wonder what happened to them. You was robbed. You was hijacked. You was knocked down. And you thought, oh, I might as well forget about it. It wasn't of God. Today, God wants to bring something to fruition. God wants to birth something inside of you that the enemy stole and said, I'm here to receive. This is the fact that the devil's stolen something from you. He stole your relationships, your money, your health. He's stolen things. You can no longer be passive to the enemy. The scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence, they take it by force. See, what we got to do is we got to become militant sometimes against that enemy. Well, that's all the time, amen. We got to stand up against the schemes of the enemy. We got to recognize the enemy, and we got to fight against the enemy. We're not weak or wishy-washy. God has endued us from power on high to stand against the schemes. Schemes of the enemy, hallelujah. Amen. But he wants us to be in alignment with his authority. Take authority over the strong man is what I'm talking about. Take authority. Everybody say, I'm taking authority today. Now I want you to think about this. Take authority over that strong man. Satan has your stuff. He has it in a storage unit. He has stolen from you. And he says you ain't never going to get it back. You're starting to think of the stuff right now, ain't you? So wasn't I beginning to think, yeah, daggone devil got me, man. I wasn't even watching. I wasn't paying no attention. I threw the towel in. I quit. I gave up. I didn't believe no more. I thought, well, I just go to church, stand up, sit down, clap a little bit, throw some money in the offering plate and walk out. God has ordained you with power from on high. He's give you something that's special to you. He saved you from the grave, amen. He set your feet up on a rock, hallelujah. He began to do something in you, and when he began it, he didn't stop it, we did. We begin to allow the devil to take our joy, our peace, our happiness, amen. We begin to allow the devil to come in and separate and conquer and divide. We begin to allow the enemy to sneak in like the slithering, no good for nothing scoundrel that he is. We need to take authority over that strong man. Satan took our stuff, and today we're going to get it back, amen? But the Bible says if you want your stuff back, first, everybody say first. First, take authority and bind the strong man. Don't accept that. It is gone forever. You know, if you lose your keys, what do? You look for them diligently until you find your car keys, right? So we can relate to that. Okay, that's simple. I got to have my car keys if I want to go somewhere. So I'm going to look hard. I want to make that a priority. And guess what? You find the keys, right? How about if you lose your wallet? You look until you find it. You will not quit because you don't want to cancel the credit cards. You don't want to get rid of the debit cards. You don't want a new license. You want the money and stuff that's in there. You will look. You will search. You will go after it until you find it. But that devil... Once he comes in and he steals stuff from us. And all of a sudden we become passive. Everybody say passive. We become passive as Christians. We think it's okay. It ain't that big a deal. He's blessed me over here. Listen, God is a blesser. He is a blesser. He's not a God of lack. Can you say amen? Whatever he's promised you today, he's bringing it home, amen. The devil wants you to say, I've lost it so long, I'll never get it back. It's not part of what God has, not part of God's plan. All of a sudden, the devil begins to use God's mouthpiece, which is your mouthpiece, to begin to speak the negative on what God has promised you. But the Bible says that when the enemy comes against you, you are to bind up the strong man. I think today you're going to get back your joy. I think you're going to get back your dream. I think you're going to have your marriage, your finances is restored. I think you're about to get your purpose back today. Amen. Hallelujah. We bind up the strong man in the house of the Lord today. Can anybody just stand to their feet and begin to give God some praise today? I'm taking back what that devil stole. I'm taking back what that devil stole. Hallelujah. We have authority of alignment operating. We have the authority of the alignment. We are not defeated. We have authority over demons and devils. Listen, we have authority over demons and devils and the spirit of lack, the spirit of fear, the spirit of depression, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of discouragement. God is saying, bind those things up today. Bind those strong men up today. Bind them and cast them into the lake of fire where they come from. I will restore your joy for your salvation. Let's just go ahead and let's take a praise break and begin to receive what God has for us today. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Restore everything. Restored. Hallelujah. Everybody shout, I'm taking it back. Everything that devil intended for bad, God's going to give it back. Do you believe it? Then it's time for you to start receiving it, amen. It's time for us to get to the place where we begin to understand God has endued you with authority. He's endued you with power from on high. And when you start getting that as a Christ follower, there ain't nothing can stop you. I want you to get that this year, church. Listen, the fourth point. You still with me? Yeah. Well, I about preached myself out already. My voice is gone. Number four, give your whole heart. Number four, give your whole heart. Give your whole heart. And I want to read Matthew 22. But what we can't do is be lukewarm this year. We either all the way in or we all the way out, but the choice is ours. Can you say amen? In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him in verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. What's he give you first? The heart. You need to love God first, and you need to love him with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is just like it unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the alignment of your heart. We need to get our hearts in alignment. God wants to bless you in this new year. I want to open the windows of heaven, he says, and I want to pour out on you a blessing that you absolutely cannot contain. Is there anybody in here today who needs that blessing? Is there anybody here today who says, man, I need God to throw that storehouse window open. I need him to pour out a blessing on me I can't even stand up against. I need him to rock me to the bottom of my socks. I need that more than my next breath. Enough blessing that you will not have room to receive is what God's word says. Do you believe God's word? It says that you can't even receive it. That is so much. Oh, man, I need a blessing like that. Here's the first thing you have to do. You have to get heart alignment. You have to get your heart in alignment. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. It's pretty clear if you love the Lord your God because he's first in everything that you say and everything you do. This is the first and the greatest commandment. It says to love with all thy heart. You see, what you get excited about is what you activate. When you begin to get excited about church, you'll activate that. When you get excited about your faith, you begin to activate that. Well, listen, if you ain't going around and you ain't on fire and you ain't passionate for the Lord, somebody stole something, amen? Because you know when you came to that altar of repentance, when you was beat down, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted, when you was wiped out, counted out, and hijacked, you know when you was at the very bottom, there ain't nobody going to be able to shut your mouth about Jesus Christ because your Redeemer showed up, amen. Amazing grace, how great he was. But he still is, amen. He still is. What you get passionate about was what you'll activate. He says, I want your heart. And if your heart is in alignment with me, he said, I will make all things new. I want you to hear this. Give me your heart, he says. I want your heart. That's what the Lord wants. It is the first commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. It says, with all your soul and mind. Love your neighbor. Listen to this. We'll mess you up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, now, come on now. Lord, you're pushing it on that one. I can't hardly stand them. We like all that, but we forget the parts about love yourself. Love yourself as your neighbor. And what he's saying here is, he says, I love you. I love you. The Lord's telling us, I love you. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy is what he's saying. He's telling you, I love you. It tells you, and this is what the enemy wants to tell you, go ahead and hate yourself. You're ugly, you're inferior, you're stupid, you'll never amount to nothing, you're worthless. We begin to listen to the enemy, the voices on the inside. Everybody say inside. We got voices on the inside that begins to tell us stuff. You can't do anything. You're good for nothing. That is not, absolutely not. Everybody say not. That is not in alignment with what the king says about you. That is not his voice, and we must recognize the difference between the king of kings' voice and the liar Beelzebub, slew foot, Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is never the giants that keep us out of the promised land. Uh-oh. It is never the giants that keep us out of the promised land. Listen, if the devil was so tough, he would come knock on your front door and come and say, I'm coming to steal your finances. I'm coming to steal your relationships. I'm coming to make you addicted. I'm coming to whatever. But he is a coward, he is a liar, and he is a thief, amen? It's never the giants that keep you out of your promised land, hallelujah? Let me just talk about it just a little bit, read up on it later, but listen, it will not be the giants, as they are not authorized to stop me or you. It doesn't matter how big the circumstances are. It don't matter how bleak it looks. They are not authorized to stop you. Come on, get it in your spirit. The enemy thinks he's so big, he ain't nothing but a little weak, no good for nothing. He's like a fly. Flick him off. Hell's made for him, not you and not I and not our loved ones. It will always be the voices on the inside. Everybody say inside. I want to drive this point home here. The 10 voices said, we are not able. We are not able to do it. We can't go in. There's giants in there. They're too big. We can't overtake it. We can't. You know the story. But 2 said, we're more than able, amen. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. It doesn't matter what the enemy says, but the 10 said we can't do it. We're not good, big, or strong enough. We can't do it. Beware of those voices that come from the inside, amen? Beware of those voices that tell you you can't. God said, I want you to love yourself on the inside. I want you to get the alignment with the Lord. If you begin to let that voice speak and penetrate you, remember, living inside of you is the Holy Spirit of a living God. All of a sudden, he begins to align you on the inside out, and all of a sudden, you begin to take on things that are positive and not negative. You begin to say, I'm taking back. I'm not giving up no more. I'm not throwing in a towel. I'm standing up, and I'm going to fight the fight. Amen? I get in alignment with the Lord. Love thy Lord with all your heart. Amen? All right, number five, seek inner purity. Seek inner purity. Seek inner purity. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 and 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. There's that daggone word again. But wait a minute, I'm holy. I'm holy. Everybody look at me, I'm holy. That's what the Pharisees was doing, wasn't they? They walked around in their fine white linens, and they want everybody to recognize, well, I look good on the outside. Listen, is that you or me? Sometimes we come to church or we go around in society and we're so worried about what everybody else thinks. Listen, that's what robs us of our glory, amen? Because our glory's name is Jesus Christ. Let me keep going here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside. Everybody say outside. Outside. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of, listen to you, extortion and self-indulgence. Not that we have a problem with that in society today. Verse 26, blind Pharisees. What's that word? First. What's the word that comes after? Inside. First, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be also clean. But first, what we've got to do is we've got to begin to cleanse the inside. He was talking to a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees who wore that white clothing. They walked around with it, and everybody knew how holy they were just by what they wore. They looked good on the outside. Jesus said, cleanse first that which is inside the cup. Can you hear me this morning? That is an alignment of your inner world. That's an alignment of who you really are, amen? You are not all the stuff that you own. You are not all the money you have. You are not everything and everybody. I'm telling you, when you begin to align yourself with God from the inside out, God begins to change the outside, amen? When you begin to allow God to rise up and fight for you, what happens is God begins to give you something brand new that you could have never obtained on your own, amen? All of a sudden, there comes a peace that surpasses understanding. Hallelujah. Listen, I got a little quote here. You can't take the man out of the slum. Amen. You can't take the man out of the slum. You can pack me up and move me out of my addiction. You can pack me up and move me to a different direction. You can pack me up, but you got to get the slum out of the man. See, what happened was, as I come to the altar of repentance 20 years ago, I had all the slum, but what I did is I come up and I laid it down. I went and made my wrongs right. I came back to the altar and he endued me with power from on high. He put his spirit inside of me so that I could do it, and so can you. We got to come to the place when we begin to understand that God wants to fight the fight with you. You can't take the man out of the slum, but you got to get the slum out of the man. That alignment in your inner world is your purity, and it's your thought life. The alignment in your inner world is your purity in your thought life. Let it resound in you. Because often we're thinking impure. We're thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. We're acting ways and processing. We're putting it on the rotisserie and we're cranking it around thinking it'll never get barbecued. But all of a sudden it becomes the reality. They were so worried about looking the part on the outside, talking about the Pharisees, but on the inside they were full of dead men's bones. The world feeds on what you look like on the outside, but God, he feeds on what you look like on the inside, amen? That is why Jesus stood at the door. I preached on this last week, right? I'm going to knock all my notes off here. That's why Jesus stands at the door, and he said, behold, I'm outside, and I knock on the door. He said, I want to come in, and I want to sup with you. I want to come in. I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be you. I want to be in line with you. Everybody say, get it in line. You need to clean the cup on the inside before you ever worry about the outside. What will happen is all of a sudden you won't worry about what your neighbor thinks. It ain't that big a deal what job you have or what you drive. I was telling someone the other night, I said, I used to sit back in my little faith 20 years ago, and I said, oh, God, give me a nice house. God, give me a good wife. God, give me this, and God's going to bless me. What I had to finally figure out, I had to get it right on the inside, and he's already taken care of everything that my little prayers are praying about. When I begin to line up, when I begin to pray fast, getting the word of God evangelized in fellowship, I was working on that inside, and God was building a spiritual giant on the inside, and on the outside God was moving and shaking and taking and tearing and ripping and doing everything I thought was wrong, just to come to a place where I said, okay, God, I see you now. I got it lined up and you're already working before me. Give him a hand clap of praise. We need to worry about the inside. Be clean in your purity, your thought life, your attitude, and in your spirit. If you want to be in alignment for his blessings this year, this is what I feel like God told me. Then don't go around thinking your holiness is on the outside, because you got to get it on the inside. Then it will change things on the outside. He will do it. It's all about being clean on the outside. Get first things first. That's what God told me when he spoke to me. He didn't speak it to you. He spoke it to me. And he told me, get it right. Keep getting it right. It's going to change, but get it right. Inside first. Number six. Still with me, right? Well, I'm almost done. What's wrong with me? Hey, man, we'll slow down a little bit or speed up. Number six, get in alignment with the body of Christ. Now, the next two you ain't going to like probably too well. Most of us ain't. But I'm going to tell you something. They're not only scriptural, they're biblical, and they're something that we need to practice this year. Can you say amen? Everybody just look around. Look around real quick. See who all's here. You look done. Get in alignment with God's word. John 20:19 says, as Jesus appears to his disciples here, then the same day and evening being the first day, what day? The first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So what in the world does that mean? First, get into the house of God on the Sabbath, which is Sunday. We practice the Sabbath as a Sunday, amen? Get into the house of the Lord and get in here and get your peace before the rest of the crazy world takes it away through the rest of the week, amen? But first, we've got to come to the place where we get in a line. We've got to get in a line with God, get our heart right, get to the place we're supposed to be every week. Get in church. Get in church. Be at the altar of repentance. Get to the place where you can praise Him. Get to the place where they're in the Word of God, not opinionated. Get some place where we're preaching truth today, amen. But get to a place where God can speak to you and He can give you that peace. Everybody say amen. Amen. We need the peace. God told me this, and I just put it in quotations. Get in alignment with the body of Christ on the first day of the week this year. If you want to get something out of the message today, get in line with the body of Christ on the first day of the week this year, every week, and then get it right. Amen. Get it right. That's what changes. You don't just come to church, hit, skip, and miss any old time we want to, but you get in alignment with the body of Christ the first day of the week, which is the Sabbath. Make your priority God's house this year and watch the blessings begin to find you. All of a sudden, you just show up and you do what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, God begins to bless you. Amen. I'm telling you, Jacob said, I will call this place Bethel, amen. He saw a vision of angels going up and down to heaven. He said, I found a gate of heaven, and I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means the house of God, amen. We're going to come to the place where we begin to assemble. There are things that God will do for you in church that He will not do for you by yourself. Nothing can take the place of the alignment with the body of Christ, which says one can put 1,000, but here, now hear this, but together, two can put tens of thousands to flight, amen? Look at someone next to you right now and say, I'm 7 times stronger because I'm sitting by you. Go ahead. I'm 7 times stronger because I am sitting in the body of Christ because I'm sitting next to you. What happens is there's powers in numbers, amen? There's powers in numbers. As we begin to assemble, it says that look at someone next to you and tell them that and begin to believe it. My prayers, my praise, my faith are 7 times stronger right now because I'm in the house of the Lord. You're in the right place for a miracle today. Does anybody come in here needing a miracle today, amen? Is there anybody sick in body, amen? Sick in mind, sick in finances. If you need a miracle, you're perfectly aligned today in the house of God to begin to get that miracle. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And let me tell you, angels are here this morning to put some things in alignment for us today, in alignment with the body of Christ. How we treat God's house is how God will treat your house. How we treat God's house is how God will treat your house. You will see direct blessings in alignment with how you align with the body of Christ. Make a commitment to the house of God this year. Make a commitment to the house of God this year. If this ain't your church, make your commitment to the church that you belong to. But get somewhere and make that commitment. The first thing I did right as a babe in Christ, the first thing I did is this old hippie got saved. And I was still as messed up as I could be. But the commitment I made was I will not miss church. That's been 20 years ago. And I could count on probably one, maybe two fingers how many times I've missed church in 20 years. Maybe a couple times. I doubt it, though. Maybe once, and that was our honeymoon, wasn't it? I think that's it. One time. Let me tell you, I need church. I need the body of Christ. I need you, and you need me. And we need each other. Can you say amen? Amen. Make a commitment this year. Number seven, give God what's His. I told you I'm going to like this. Sorry about our luck, right? We like the Word of God, though, don't we? Give God what's His. That is the alignment of your money. Everybody say, oh, here you go. I know he's going to preach about tithing sometime this year. If that's all you get out of it, sorry about our luck. But in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 22, it says, take some of the first fruits. Take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. It says, then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for His name. He said, you shall take the first fruits. Almost got through it. Of course, the devil don't want me to say his part, does he? He said, take your first fruits, that is the alignment of your money. In Proverbs in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, what we're talking about is us coming to the place of tithing. Everybody say tithe. And tithing is 10%. In the same scripture I'm getting ready to share with you here in just a second, It says, will man rob God? Oh, no way we rob God, is it? Anybody rob God? Anybody just steal from him? None of us would we? We wouldn't just steal from God. We love God. But it says if we don't give him what's his, which is the first fruits, which is what 10% stands for, he said we rob him from God. I know we don't like to hear about that. It's in the Word, right? He says, bring it. He says, I've given you. Ain't smart enough. You ain't educated enough. You're not brilliant enough. You're not good looking enough to do it on your own. He says, I'm going to give you 100% of what's mine. I'm giving you the health, I'm giving you the job, and I'm giving you the alignment. He said, all I want you to do is bring me what's mine, the first fruits. It's not telling you to take it everywhere else. It's telling you to take it where you're fed. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will flow with new wine. The tithe is the first, amen. It's the first fruit. It is not the cost of admission to a gospel show. It is not the cost of admission to a gospel show. It's not because they practice all week singing. It's not because I put hours into preaching. It's not because she puts hours into teaching. It's not because the coffee's right or the heat's too high or too low or everything's perfect or the seats are comfortable. That's not what a tithe is, amen? Listen, we're to bring the tithe to the storehouse. You bring it to where you're spiritually fed. And listen, if we're not spiritually feeding you, you're in the wrong place. But I want to talk to you next about the connection point. I want to connect you right here. And Malachi, which some of us call Malachi, and then we get saved and we get to learn some of the really. But in Malachi, right before verse 10, it talks about, will man rob God? Yes, in tithes and offerings. We will rob God. But listen what it says here in Malachi. Malachi 3:10 says, test me. The only place in God's infallible word that he'll tell you, test me. He's telling you, listen now, I'm a byproduct of this. Is anybody else a byproduct of this? I tested God right here. I did not believe that God cared that much about me. As test me, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing that you were not in the room to be able to store it. So today I don't care about my house because I got the best house. I don't care about my marriage. I got the best marriage. I don't care about things of this world. I care about serving and aligning with my Savior, Jesus Christ. It's time for us to get first things first today. It's time for us to get in alignment. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, I hear the overarching message here, the old anecdote that we've always heard, it's what's on the inside that counts, and that's absolutely the truth. Remember great-grandma that used to say, listen, that ain't right. It don't look right on the outside, but you, boy, you better get it right up on the inside, amen. You better get that heart aligned. You better get your mind, your thought process on the Lord. See, today we don't even want to talk about it. As the praise and worship team makes their way up, our Father is the creator of life, the giver of dreams. Our hope and our future are his. When we put him first and align our lives with his word, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you want to be in the correct position to receive favor and blessing from the Lord, you have to align your priority with God's word. As you stand over the house this morning, we was talking about aligning your car. Keeping your car aligned makes it easier. Keeping your spirit aligned makes life meaningful, amen. If you got your car in a line, it makes it easier to drive. You can just hold the wheel and let it go. But if you're spiritually in a line and you're spiritually got your life lined up like it's supposed to, vertically, guess what? Everything horizontally will begin to become smooth. Whatever you're struggling with today, if you're willing to really, truly let first things be first, if you're willing to bring it to the altar, and it says lay it down, leave it there, walk away from it, put it in layaway, go out and make your wrong right and allow God to be God of your life. If you're really in that position today, if you need your spirit life realigned today, and we all do, how about you? Do you need it today? Do you need it today? Are there some areas you need to reprioritize? I know I carried a lot through here today in a short time, but do we need to reprioritize some things in our life? Think about the spiritual alignment. Is it what you need? Think about when you got saved. Think about when you was broken before the altar. Think about when you cried out to God, when you loved him, and when you didn't have nothing or no one, and you knew that the only way and the only way up was Jesus Christ. It is not about being perfect and following the set of rules. It's about changing from the inside out. It's about seeing him open the windows of heaven and pouring out so much of a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain it.